is telling this story. And Sandra, what I want us to gather very quickly, because I don't intend to trouble you too long, is that whatever story Jesus tells, or whatever scenario, whatever community he's in, all of the stories point in the same direction. Everything Jesus is saying has twofold equipping with it. One is, it is about destiny and deliverance. Jesus is saying, listen, if you get this story, it's going to point you toward your destiny, and it would make sure that you meet with your deliverance. And so he reminds them that the desired outcome of every scenario or every story is that we make it into heaven. Please understand, beloved of God, none of you have arrived yet. Amen. I think that some of us think that when we get to a certain point in our Christian journey, that we're just going to sit on the bus stop of Christianity and wait for God to come by and pick us up. There's an old song Grandma and them used to sing that said, swing low, sweet chariot, stop and let me ride. Well, please nudge your neighbor and tell him you got more walking than riding to do. Yeah. You got to walk with the Lord and quit sitting around on your pew of do-nothingness thinking that because you sang one Sunday and the church went in, or you preached or talked a Bible study lesson, or you finally gave a reasonable tithe, that now you can fold up your arms and just wait on the Lord to scoop you up on the way to heaven. No, tell them again, you got more walking to do than riding. And so Jesus reminds us, and I'm just about to the point I want to make, Jesus reminds us that the story is necessary in the life of the hearer and believer. I will say to you, beloved of God, that it is necessary, Laura, that I say hearer and believer, because I'm convinced of God and do believe that everybody in here can hear. But I'm also keenly aware of the fact that not everybody in here is a believer. Don't roll your eyes at me with that tone of voice. I'm telling the truth up here, because Jesus is talking to folk, and the folk are listening, but these are some of the same folk that would turn on him at the moment when he probably could have used them the most. The Bible said that he uses this approach so that even children can understand him. But I also know, Harmony, that Jesus talks in parables so that the believer can understand him, but that his oppressors will remain confused. How many know that you've got to have a language that the devil can't understand? Amen, amen. So that's why, beloved of God, sometimes you spend too much time trying to get folk who aren't like you to understand you. Amen. That'll sink in a minute. You can't speak a certain language to folk who are not articulate to that particular language. There's certain things that you say in the spirit world that folk in the regular world ain't going to understand. So make up a parable. Some of y'all need to learn how to do parables. You got to learn how to simplify the significant so that even the silly can understand. I said that in a way that I wouldn't insult nobody. I'm just trying to tell you that Jesus knows the audience that he's talking to, but he has no problem making it simple. He's teaching from the boat, and the Bible says, and I like the New Living Translation, Deacon Davis, because the Bible said there's an immense crowd. I put a note in here. I said, don't do nothing with that. I did. I said, there's so much I like to do, but I put a note here. I said, don't just keep it moving, Jess. As McFadden and Whitehead said, ain't no stopping us now. We own the groove. But here it is, beloved of God, that Jesus is talking to them, and he starts the story out in what would assumingly sound like, I know, Mrs. Scott, that is not a word, I made it up and put it in here, but he says the seed fell in a negative situation first. I wrestled with that, Mrs. Anderson. I wrestled with it because I would have thought that Jesus would have presented a more positive picture, thereby motivating others to say, well, that's what I want to be. And if you start out with a negative, you probably turn some folk off immediately. And I don't know why Jesus did that, but he immediately starts out talking about seed falling, bird stealing. Said that but ain't going nowhere. And so he moves on. And you notice, as he continues with the story, it gets better. But what I also notice is, ain't nobody leaving. The text says that when Jesus started talking, there's an immense crowd that has gathered. And if you read the text carefully, you will discover that the crowd is growing and not going. What did he just say, Sandra? He said that even when Jesus started out with the negative thing, and some of them could identify with the very fact that he's probably talking about us, it kept growing, but they wasn't going. Let me help some of you to understand something. When my grandmother used to say this, if you throw a rock in a pack of dogs, it's the hit dog that's going to holler. But please understand, beloved God, when the preaching comes and you get hit, that ain't no time to walk out the church. You know, when the testimonies of the righteous are heard, there will be some testimonies in there that they were once the unrighteous. And they will tell you that the reason they were transitioned or became converted is because they did not leave. And so Jesus says that, I mean, the text says in Matthew's rendition, there's a large crowd and folk keep coming. They're staying, and maybe they came just to see him. Maybe they came to touch him. Maybe they just came to hang around. But for whatever reason they came, they stayed. Jesus addresses this at another time when he realizes the crowd is growing again. He said, the only reason y'all came is because of the fish and the loaves. But notice he didn't say, now you might as well go ahead. But whenever they came, they stayed. And you need to make that kind of commitment, because every sermon is not going to be about cake and ice cream. Every lesson doesn't lift you up and give you a place to brag. Some lessons make us feel the pain of our realities. And so they are there. So they've come and they've stayed there. And I'll run the rabbit very briefly down the hole with Alice in the Wonderland scenario. It's the fact that sometimes, even though you chase it, you may not catch it, but you can end up in the same place. Y'all will get that if you know the story. So wherever you are in the Lord, they're on the shoreline and they're listening to God and they're wondering about the parable. Now understand, beloved God, that we'll discover at another time that by the time the whole thing is over, it's the disciples who get to go further. Because when they get to a place that is quiet, they ask him, why are you always telling these stories? And what does that mean? How many of you have ever wanted to ask the Lord, what does that mean? And so Jesus gives this point, and so here it is, and we can be gone. I looked at the story, and when Jesus talks about the parable, some of it sounds like visions and dreams of a personal nature. When Jesus is talking about this, it sounds like there's something internal that he wants to say to them that he's been thinking, and he had to figure out a way to get it out of his system. It sounds like something personal. He talks about this sower. He talks about the farmer. And it sounds like there's something else in the story. There's something else in the parable that is not necessarily about us, but maybe there's something about him. And that's when it hit me. Of all the years, Myra, that I have read this story, and I preach it in one version or another, something hit me. For the longest time, and I bet some of you are sitting here thinking that pastor's finna pick on us. Because some of us he's going to call soil condition one. Some of us he's going to identify as soil condition two. Some of us he's going to identify as soil condition three. And then he's going to get to his favorites and help them shout because they're soil condition four. But it hit me. Something hit me. It was about Thursday evening. I was sitting there and it came to me. Maybe, just maybe, the real thrust of the story is not about the soil, but the sower. It ain't going to take me much longer. Y'all going home, and trust me, you're going to say to yourself, we ain't never got out of church that early. But I'm going to tell you that it hit me. Tim, it crossed my mind to step back and look at it. Maybe Jesus is taking it personal. Maybe Jesus is saying, for all I have given, look what I got. But what he's also saying is, even though I didn't get what I thought I'd get, I'm glad I got what I got. Y'all missed it. What twisted it for me is Jesus is saying to us,
Even if they don't want it, I'll give it to them. Even if they don't deserve it, they're still worthy. Even if they don't know how to manage it, I'll let them try. And even if they get it right, it wasn't because of them, it was because of me. And I figured it out. I said, listen, we have wasted our time beating up packed foot ground people. We wasted our time trying to make people feel humiliated and embarrassed about what they're not in Christ. So what if their lives are full of rocks? So what if they're riddled by thickets and thorns? So what if the birds have snatched it up? The fact of the matter is, Jesus makes it clear that I can throw my seed wherever I want to, and it's mine to lose, mine to gain, but I'm still all in. It's not about what's wrong with you. Because there's always something wrong with you. There's always something wrong with us. But Jesus says that he kept scattering the seed. He never took it personal. He didn't spend time, as we often do, trying to make the seed work better because we worked the soil to receive the seed. Just throw the seed. I sat down and I said to myself, okay, I got it. It doesn't matter where we come from. It doesn't matter what our past pedigree is. It doesn't matter how hard-headed and how difficult we are. He's still going to throw the seed. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if we produce immediately or if it takes a while, he's still going to throw the seed. And what he does is, first thing I notice, he does not discriminate. Oftentimes in the church, pastors are guilty, leaders are guilty, ministry personnel are guilty of selective seed throwing. We only throw good seed to what we think is good soil. But are we not cheating the ministry out of the true efforts of God? If in fact we only give to those we think are worthy, what are we going to do to the unworthy? And how do we determine wheat from tares? The sower. It's God's stuff. And what Jesus does is he delivers even in difficulty. And you can testify that because some of us were footpaths. Some of us were rocky. But he delivers through the difficulties. That's why many of us sitting here now should shout. Not being prompted to shout, but should simply shout because the odds were the same for everybody. Okay, watch this, Mrs. Davis. I'll tell you why. If you read the story very carefully, and I'm just about finished, you'll read the story carefully. All of us have the same odds. 3-1. Everybody got the same. The footpath, the thorns, the rocks, the good soil, it's 3-1. The chances are, that 3-1, somebody's going to come forth as good soil. But notice that Jesus does not minimize the effort based on the condition of the soil. Everybody's got 3-1. And what he does is he does not discriminate. He distributes through the difficulty, but he also makes sure that what he delivers is dynamic throughout. It's the same soul. He doesn't say, well, let me get this other bag. He doesn't say, well, I'm not going to throw as much. It's dynamic. It's interesting to me that when the farmer is throwing the seed, there is a method to his madness. Notice it does not say he planted it. It said he scattered it. See, scattered stuff has the ability to bounce off of things and land in uninteresting and sundry places, because I think that what the Lord is demonstrating for us is You can't feed scattered people with precision. You got to feed scattered people by scattering. Y'all missed it. In other words, if all we're going to do is put it in selected places, you may never get none. So it's about the sower. It's the fact that he's standing and just chunk stuff. There is no real method to it. There is no perfect 11 o'clock church, or perfect 10 o'clock church, or perfect 7 o'clock church, or perfect choir here, or perfect. He just scattered. No precision. There is no, let us do it this way and this way alone. Just scatter. And I can see him in my illustration, in my mind, I can see him with that big sack just retching in and throwing it out. And somebody watching him would probably say, what in the world? But how many know that it's the madness that became your method? It's the crazy stuff God did that made you who you are. It's the fact that even when you were a wretch undone, he scattered. Even when you were a liar and a thief, he scattered. Even when you were hanging out in the wrong places, he scattered. Aren't you glad that he scattered in the club, scattered at the racetrack, scattered in Atlantic City, scattered in the barracks, scattered in the crap house, scattered, scattered. And because he scattered, he saved me. He didn't just scatter at the local Bible study. He didn't just scatter in pristine and prestigious location. He scattered in the penthouse and the outhouse. And he said, it's my seed. I throw it where I want to throw it. And then he reminds us that he loves us. So the parable isn't about the bad soil. Parable is about a great sower. And Jesus is trying to lift us to greater understanding by showing us that sometimes you got to do the unusual. We will not become a great people because we're already great. We become a great people because we have a great God who cares about what happens to us. Though people may say to him, Lord, you're wasting your time on point one kind of people or point two kind of people. It's not about what they say. It's about what he does. A whole lot of us will never understand it. In fact, some of us could probably, if given an opportunity to come and grab the mic, testify that we couldn't believe it ourselves. There's a sower who's scattered. So, beloved of God, what he's saying is, no matter what shape you're in, I'm your personal trainer. No matter what state you're in, I govern that state. No matter what difficulties you have to go through, I deliver. And even if the odds are 3-1, them some good odds. Why are the odds 3-1 good odds? Well, I'll tell you why. One is the Father. One is the Holy Ghost. One is Jesus, our elder brother, and you make four. 3-1. Three for me makes me a good one. Three standing gets me back on my feet. Three blessing changes my whole life. Three in deliverance gets me out of my trouble. Three in my struggles give me my strength. Three in my darkness brings me to the light. Three against one, I'll take them all. Because if God be for us, he's more. 3-1? I'll take it. And so the kick, beloved of God, is it just depends on where it lands. No, not really, Reverend. Kind of, sort of, yes. But I want to tell you that the closing argument is that it depends on who's throwing. You'll get it. I intentionally said it depends on where it lands because I know in the end I wanted to really tell you it depends on who's doing the throwing. Jesus is saying to us, it doesn't matter what condition you're in, I'm still going to throw the seed. It doesn't matter how messed up you are, I'm still going to throw the seed. It doesn't matter what people say or know about you, I'm still going to throw the seed. And I'm not going to throw it in minimum quantities. I'm throwing in volume. See, because when you throw in volume, some of it going to bounce off rocks, and some of it going to bounce off tree stumps, and some of it going to land in good places. And so, how many of you have ever walked out in your yard and wondered, how does this grow here? My story very quickly, and you can go. When we were children, we used to sit on the porch and spit seeds over on the ground. No method. Just sit there and eat fruit, spit seed. Made a contest out of it. See who can spit seed the furthest. And one spring, we noticed this strange few plants growing in my mama's rose bed. My Aunt Beulah Kelsey, who was a horticulturist of her own renown, came over because her love for my mother helped her tend to the rose bed. My Aunt Beulah Kelsey was a horticulturist of her own renown. Nobody could tell her how to bring up roses. She knew how to raise up good roses. She knew more than the man down at the seed store. She could take a bag of seed and go, these ain't gonna be worth nothing, girl. Put them back. And so this particular spring, she comes over early because it's the thing to do. And mama said, I'm glad you're here because I don't know what that is growing right there. And she looks at it. She said, girl, y'all got orange trees growing down here. Mama said, nobody plant no orange trees. And she said, them orange trees right there, that's an orange tree, that's an orange tree. I know orange trees when I see them. Now, mind you, I'm trying to be a little fancy because she really called it an orange tree. Them oranges. We're in the South. Says, Lord, tell them what an orange is. Okay. And so she said, let them grow. We'll have some oranges around here in a few seasons. It'll take a little while. And sure enough, we let it grow. And so when they came up about a certain height, they got buds on them. Nobody planted them. We just spitting over the porch. But we put enough down that though some died and produced nothing, though some came up and were quickly destroyed, 3-1, I'll take them odds. And the fact of the matter is, if children spitting off the porch can get lucky with seeds that fall in unprepared soil, how much greater do you think is the God who made heaven and earth, put the stars in their socket, give the moon its midnight orders and the sun its early rise, tell the tides to be high and low? How much more do you think a God who scatters seed can do in your life with odds at 3-1. Let's stand on our feet together. We're going home. God wants to bless you today. The sower is still sowing. Stop fretting about the condition of your soil and celebrate that he's still sowing. Still, and notice now, the text never says that he comes back to turn soil over seed. He just throws the seed and keeps it walking. Again, McFadden and Whitehead said, we got to keep it moving. We're on the way. No stopping us now. Keep sowing, Lord. Keep throwing seed. And we've got to learn how to stop being critical of the soil and celebrate the sower. Okay, five of y'all understand. But see, the Bible says, and Paul reminds us, that my God shall supply all my need. It's according to his riches. Those are his seed. Don't look at him going, well, you wasting your seed on sister so-and-so, or you wasting seed on brother so-and-so. No. These are my seed. And I shall supply. Just throwing them out there. And Lord God Almighty, 3-1, I'll take them odds. He knows more than we know. And so if you're standing in this room today, you want to be soil footpath 1, soil rocky 2, soil choked out by thorn and thistle 3, or if in fact you desire to be soil number 4, good and fertile, bringing forth 30, 60, and 100, come see the man. Woman at the well said, you all got to come see this man. Got to come meet him. He knows everything about me, but he didn't judge me. I was trying to bless him, and he blessed me. But you got to come see the man. And if you're in this room today, no matter what condition your soil is, I know a sower who will keep on seeding. Even when the birds have stolen, the sun has dried it up. Sometimes we're like that. Sometimes we started out with gangbusters. And circumstances and trials, situations, and our seed seems to have been wasted. But he keeps throwing. There's a process, those of you who have lawns, and there's a thing called overseeding. And what you do is, even though there's something growing, you come back and you put more seed. But this time, you do it a little differently. This time, you don't have to worry about putting the hay on and all that kind. You just overseed it. You come along and just seed it and let it go. And sure enough, if you've ever seeded your lawn, you'll notice that birds will show up that you ain't never seen before. And then you'll notice that after you overseed, look like the sun gets even hotter. You're trying to turn your little sprinklers on, and you're trying to keep it. But in the next season, you look out there and go, man, that grass came in pretty good. Last year, I thought I lost it. But man, look at that. And that's what the Lord is saying. Sometimes birds do come. Sometimes the sun scorches our lives. Sometimes the thistles and thorns choke us out. Brother Walker mentioned last Sunday, we just got to let wheat and tare grow together. But boy, that season does come when we are brilliant. Our blades are strong. Our roots have gone deeper. And we got it now. But we need the Lord to tend to us all the time. I've often driven down the interstate system in our country. I always marvel at the grass in the median and on the shoulders. All pretty and green, especially when they cut it, you know. Ain't nobody got no sprinklers out there. I get mad, you know. I say to myself, look at there. Grass in the median, all pretty and green and on the shoulders. And I'm at my house draining my well and spending money at Home Depot. And Lowe's now, I got competition. Buying Scotts. You know, listening to the crazy man on the commercial. Feed it. I am feeding it. Look at there. Patches here and patches there. And yet you ride down the highway and the grass look like a golf course. I say to God, it ain't fair. And I hear the Holy Spirit saying, I seeded that before the foundation of the world. And what I seed and what I sow, it's going to come forth in due season. Nudge your neighbor and say, neighbor, there's a season. If you're standing here today, you may not be in season yet, but he's going to keep throwing the seed. You may have birds hovering, just waiting for you to hit that door with this new lesson. But he's going to still throw it. You got some rocks in your life and some thorns and thistles. Going to try to choke out this word. But he's still throwing. And I see him just like Paul illustrates him. And my God shall supply. As often as you need it, God will deliver. Doesn't matter how hot it gets. Doesn't matter how dry. It doesn't matter what it has been identified as. It can be cancer, high blood pressure, diabetes, whatever it is. God said, I'll keep seeding. And it won't choke you out. And I believe God has seed for the soil. Just one more song and we can go. There's a line in the song, I believe Rolling Stones did it and somebody else did it, but it says, I just stopped in to see what condition my condition was in. And some of us have come by today. We just stopped in to see what condition our condition was in. But I will tell you, beloved of God, that the chief physician, the chief horticulturist, the chief examiner is ready to see you now. You may not have had an appointment, but we do walk-ins. And when you walk in, you won't walk out the same. God will deliver. He knows what you stand in need of. Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Don't leave till you see him. Knock, and the door shall be open. The sower is ready to seed you now. Come to Jesus. If you're here today, don't wait till tomorrow. Don't assume you'll come back on Thursday or Tuesday, Monday or Wednesday. Come see the man. Lord loves you today. If there are one, the doors of our church are open for Christian discipleship. It doesn't matter. 3-1, that's good odds. I'll take it. The eye hath not seen, the ear hath not heard. God can do something with you. Heads are bowed. Father, we thank you today for reminding us that there's another side of the story. For too long, Lord, we felt that we were being criticized and somebody's trying to make something out of us that we were not willing to assign to ourselves. We didn't come to get beat up. We didn't come to be embarrassed. And so thank you, God, today that we can see the other side of the story. That it's really about how willing you are to go however far you have to go, to do whatever you have to do, that no man would perish. Thank you, Lord, that you keep sowing and sowing and sowing, scattering and scattering, that whatever condition my soil may be in, it's the seed that makes the difference. Seed can take root on a footpath. Seed can take root among rocks. Seed can take root among thorns and thistles. And Lord, I'm getting better because I want to get better. But thank you that you didn't give up on me. Thank you that you love me so much that you never changed your mind. And I gave you reason to change your mind, Lord. I gave you pause. I did everything under the sun at one time or another, and I gave you reason and pause. I gave you all you needed to do to change your mind, but you didn't. You loved me so much that you did what my grandmama told me you were going to do. You looked beyond my faults to meet my every need. You forgave me when I couldn't forgive myself. You loved me when friends and families walked away. You stayed with me. You nursed me at night when my head was bad and my heart was broken. You stayed with me when everybody else couldn't stand me. You died for me. When nobody else would even call my name, you wrote my name in the book. And so, God, I want to recommit my way to you. I want to do like the old folks said. I want to sign my name on the roll. I want to get back in the Christian Jubilee. I want to be there. I want to see you when you come. I want to go back with you. And so I'm going to recommit myself. In spite of my soil condition, I thank you for sowing. I thank you for not cheating me because I wasn't among the elite. I didn't dot all the I's. I didn't cross all the T's. Sometime, Lord, all I did was the worst I could do. But you didn't give up on me. You blessed me. And so I just stopped in to see what condition my condition was in. And I thank you, Lord, that you didn't refuse to see me. You've made me better. You've made me whole. They're sick among us, Lord, and I pray, God, today that you'll kiss them upon their condition. The arthritis, the cancer, the diabetes, the high blood pressure, the swelling, the joints, the back, sciatica, whatever it is. Lord, look like every time we turn around, they got a new medicine for a new condition. But God, we're going to rely on the oldest medicine in the book. There is a balm in Gilead for the healing. And so, God, we just fall down before you with all of our ills and ailments and simply declare, Lord, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And Lord, forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and we're so grateful for that. You're King of kings, Lord of lords, sovereign. Thine is the kingdom with both power and glory forever. And the redeemed of the Lord said, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. Hug at least four or five people. Say something nice to them and tell them, don't worry about the condition. Just wait for the Christ. God bless you.